Mrs. Reverend Irvin greeting you and saying once again how happy I am that we can come to you in this fashion and worship together. We're very pleased that God has blessed our days with warm, though sometimes snowy weather. We believe that spring is here, or just around the corner anyway. And that always brings some joy to us and lifts our spirits. It's marvelous how God has planned things, the turn of the seasons, seed and time and the harvest, life and its provision, friends. So many wonderful blessings, and we just pray that during these days of Lent we can be more aware of those blessings. We also will want to, during Lent, I'm sure, to enrich our Lenten time, to remember our Lord, how he gave himself up for us. So we pray that you'll have a good week and that God will be very near to you. God of our fathers, Lord of the unknown and the known, you have been our stay in all generations and will be our shield for all the tomorrows which stretch before us. We've come apart for worship and celebration. Another week has dawned and we seek renewal of our energies and spirits, a refreshment which can come only from you. And we ask for a visitation of your power in our midst this morning, moving us, convicting us, challenging us, forgiving us, empowering us. And for these moments, we cast aside every care, weight, and worry which beset us. Give us eyes to see the mighty things and to comprehend what you desire of us. Then we shall be able to face life squarely, live it for your glory. Give us a fine sense of value that we may not needlessly waste our energy and substance chasing after the rainbows of fading values which evaporate once we reach them. Rather, place in our hearts a firm resolve to follow after love and after sacrifice, after peace and after beauty. Indeed, may we be found giving our commitment to those verities from which eternity is made. Then, when life is ended, it shall be renewed in your presence. Let us find the resource and the courage which will enable us to risk our lives in your hands. Let us take a chance on trusting you more, serving you more, loving you more. We pray for deliverance from the raw practicality which our world demands, and from the temptation to reduce all values to worldly standards. May we comprehend beauty for its own sake, for the things of life which have the dimensions of depth and height, we pray. Forgive us lest we miss life because we're living it. Hear our thanksgiving, O God. Let praise rule in our hearts. Let gratitude subdue our spirits. Each of us, when we are honest, can draw an endless list of your blessings, some obvious, some not so obvious. Make us grateful people. Hear now our intercessions. We call to our remembrance and lift to you those who are ill, those who bear heavy responsibilities, those who suffer, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, those who stand in need of love and concern, which is yours, but which we all may help to mediate. Listen now in this quiet moments to the concerns of our hearts. pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Paul writes in the words read this morning, I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink. Thus, in one sentence, Paul summarizes the exodus of the Hebrew people from Egypt, their wandering in the wilderness. And then he adds, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. The explorer Stanley one day was going down the river in a canoe when he discovered that he was nearing some rapids. And the current was much faster than he had anticipated, and he seemed to be headed for the rocks. His only hope seemed to be a huge rock on one side of the creek, or the river, near the bank. And fortunately, he was able to get the canoe wedged between it and the bank and get to safety. He said later, I was saved from the rock by the rock. Now, the river of life is like that. Sometimes the current is much faster than we think. The moments may drag sometimes, but the years go by very swiftly. Time flies, we say. Alas, not so. Time stays, we go. As we try to cope with the speed of the current of our life, our human situation is this. We have a choice of the rocks or the rock. Our present time is a time of great confusion, instability on all fronts, the international, the national, the personal. There's chaos, there's turmoil. And something is wrong with our world, but nobody is really quite sure what it is. In our private lives, for many people anyway, many of the guiding principles are no longer acceptable. And no new ones have emerged to take the place, their place. Sometimes people ask, what's life for? And they ought to, for until a person gets that settled, that question settled, there's not much use in anything else. So we rush along, we push aside so we can get ahead. People do that. They may be church members, they may not be. Some think the steep ascent they climb to success is really the steep ascent to heaven. But how often we hear the plaintive remark, my career is on the rocks. My life is meaningless. The purpose and meaning of my life seems to be on the rocks. Now, in the midst of this, there is a rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. And our search for a way out of the chaos and the confusion, be it personal or otherwise, a way out of this instability has its answer in who Jesus Christ is, what he teaches, and what he has done. Now, if you bypass or ignore this rock, there will be nothing but constant tossing and bouncing in your life because of confusion and fear. And this is really our only choice. Have life on the rocks or the rock. Now, this saving faith in Jesus Christ is to trust and to rely on what God in Christ has done for us. We judge him by our own sensitivities and capabilities. But his love for us is bigger than our petty resentments. His forgiveness of us is bigger than our sins, just as big as our repentance. And his power is strong enough to carry our burdens, even when our power, our strength, is not there. And God has given us, He has given us a life which not even death can destroy. He's given us love, forgiveness, power, and life. To believe this, no, not to believe it, but to accept it, is to stand on the rock and to find stability amidst the confusion and the chaos of our time and of your life. Well, sometimes, to be sure, we feel this blessed assurance more than at other times. But we believe it's there whether we are acutely aware of it or not. Quaker saying goes, we believe in the sun even when clouds and storms are hiding it. To be without such a faith, and millions upon millions of moderns are, is to be a victim of fear, of misfortune, disappointment, and sin. Choice is the rock or the rocks. Now faith, this kind of faith, is a gift from God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Paul says, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. Then if it's a gift, why doesn't everybody have it? Because even God cannot give it to those who won't take it. And there are reasons why this priceless gift of faith is received, or why it's turned away. Faith comes first where it can get in. It's received where a person is receptive. Some are not receptive because they are convinced if they don't have it, there is no such thing. I suspect more are spiritually lazy and insensitive and apathetic. They don't particularly want God's gift. They feel no need for it. Some, even some who populate our churches, are content to drift along, not caring one way or another, so long as they have food and shelter and a little fun. You've heard it. I've heard it from church people dozens and dozens of times. I'm not a religious person. But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about faith. The current of life is swift. And those people without faith are on rocks, on the rocks, even if they don't know it. And most of them don't. The gift of faith comes where it can get in, where a person is open and receptive. Even Paul, who fought first against it, was first made receptive by seeing it in others. It comes where it can get in. Second, faith comes where it can get out. Jesus said, if any man's will is to do God's will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. Some people, dissatisfied with life, long for such a saving faith, but don't know where to find it. They cry with Job, "Oh, that I may know where to find him." So what we do, what people do, is to discuss the evidences of Christianity, the nature of Christianity, and to no avail. They look for it to come to them when they talk about it, read about it, yea, even pray about it, but it doesn't come. To come to us, faith must go through us. Christian faith is somewhat like electricity. No power comes if the working outlets are shut off. Now, the second bar to faith, it comes where it can get out, is really greater than the first. That is, to let it come through and out of us. Some of you may remember an old comedy character named Nicholas Gimcrack. And one of the things he did one time in one of the stories, he went through the motions of swimming in the dry. That is, he'd lay stomach down on a table and go through all the motions of swimming. He did this, he said, because he didn't like the water. And so he said, "I content myself with the speculative art of swimming. I care not for the practice." For some, even in the pews of our churches, faith and religion is like that. Too often, we think of faith and freedom and goodwill and love in the speculative, in the abstract. But Christian faith must be practiced to be preserved and to be enhanced. Persist in trying to do the will of God. Some are so busy searching for righteousness that they have no time to practice righteousness. If we have freedom to worship, we practice it. To have goodwill, practice it. To have justice, practice it. To be forgiven, be forgiving. If we care not for the practice of faith, there's no way that we can receive it. Christians are to carry crosses, not just sing about them. One of Blaine Pascal's students one time said to him, "I wish I had your faith. If I had your faith, I would live like you do." Pascal said, "Live like I do, then you will have my faith." Remember, in the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus told some lepers to go and do certain things. And then this clause, very significant. As they went to do these things that Jesus said, as they went, they were cleansed. The gift of faith is in the doing. This is why many go away empty from the fountain of faith. We're to go and we're to do the will of God. The gift of faith is given in the doing. If we have a cloudy, mottled skin, and we want clear, firm skin, we go to a doctor. The doctor says, "Now eat only certain foods. Cleanse the skin at time with this preparation. And then before you go to bed, apply this preparation, this cream." Now the only way to receive the gift of a good, healthy skin is to do as you're told. You can't get a good, healthy skin by discussing the merits of the prescription. As you do, you will begin to receive. In a few days, first few days as the process is begun, you may not see much results. But if you have a confused skin, listen to the doctor and do what he says. If you have a confused life, a chaotic faith, or no faith, then listen to Jesus Christ and do what he says. For the gift is given in the doing. Now perhaps there is someone here who is on the fringes of faith, who does not know for sure the strengthening, stabilizing faith that only God in Christ can give. You can reason and you can wonder and you can discuss and you can argue the faith and still not get it. Go out and do. Go and do. It won't always be easy, but you will soon find God in you, strengthening you, encouraging you, being patient with you, and giving you the faith to bear up and to carry you over. The gift of faith is in the doing. An old mariner once said, "The ship that will not heed the helm must heed the rocks." Now, if in our carelessness we do not heed the helm of God's hands, or if in our stubbornness we take the helm from God's hands, then make no mistake about it. Life has another way of teaching us the rocks, and many are on them now. This is our choice, to be loving, to be forgiving, to have the life that Jesus promises, or we can worry, we can fret, we can flounder, and we can sink. It's the rocks for you, or the rock for you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how easy it is in our ease not to recognize that our life is moving swiftly. The time seems to be passing us by. But our faith, what there is of it, seems to be strong. Open our eyes. Open our eyes and call us to a greater faith, a faith which is found and is given as we obey your will and do what you ask. Let this be personal to each one of us. Let none smugly think that this word which comes from you is for another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.